This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Danko.
Hey, how's it going?
Guess who's back? Me, motherfucker! Take your best shot, 'cause I don't give a damn. And when you realize it, it's gonna make you shake. I know you're gonna deny.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I am joined by the inspirational Baco. How are you, sir?
Inspirational? Well, that's a rare complimentary adjective from you. Thank you very much. I'm well. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, do you know why I say inspiring?
Well, I can make a guess, but why don't you just explain it for the listeners?
Sure. So, for our 300th episode, I had an idea for an outro song. And I didn't know which one you picked, but as soon as I heard it, it was perfect. And that was I Think Bad Thoughts by Danko Jones. And it kind of wrapped up everything. And why did you pick that song?
Well, Danko Jones is a big part of us coming together to do the podcast. And if anybody listens to the show, we clearly have some bad thoughts running through our heads from time to time. I think it's kind of a main theme of the show is almost like horrible, despicable people, you know?
Yeah. And
it's our charm.
Correct. So it's interesting because even when people ask, like, how did you guys get together? I sometimes forget specifically the article. I just say, oh, we were both writers on Decibel Geek. And it was an article on Danko Jones that I saw, swiped right, and immediately contacted you to start a show. If I'm going to paraphrase a press release he put out for this album, he said, I sing about rocking when I'm about to rock and thinking about rocking. And occasionally I throw in a song about a woman, I think is what he says is in his quote. So that's what you're going to get, man. And when I want just a dose of just pure rock and roll, not metal, not anything else, just like just fun, upbeat rock, I go to Danko.
Well, again, kudos. Well done. And you couldn't have timed it better. Thanks, Danko.
Hello, Danko.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks for doing this interview today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
So just to let you know, you've actually been on this show back in the day. Here's our little logo, if you see it out in the wild.
It's familiar. Like, it's totally familiar.
That's cool. It's years ago. There's two. It's myself, LC, and then my co-host, Baco, who have interviewed you in the past or in different album cycles. So glad to have you back is my point. So
cool. Glad to be back.
Yeah. So where are you now? I saw a Grass Pop in preparing for the show. I just pulled up like your latest, you know, recent appearance at Grass Pop. But where are you on tour currently? Like today, what hotel or whatever?
Norway, Tromsø, Norway. waiting to play. Tomorrow we play a festival with Rival Sons. It's the Bukta Festival in Tromso, and it's the city festival here. We played here a couple of times, and it's a great festival.
Yeah, I just saw Rival Sons recently. Amazing live, too. And you guys seem to be like just unleashed on that recent performance, getting out there, opening with Guess Who's Back and Good Time. And how's it feel to get back like on all these fests this summer?
It feels good. I mean, last year, you know, was our real return for everyone back to live music. However, getting back to touring after the pandemic, if you're a touring band, it was a nightmare because airlines were losing luggage left, right, and center. And we're still feeling the effects of that. Like, we lost luggage at the beginning of this block. We lost luggage last month. It's been not as crazy as last year, but that's, I would say, is the difference in returning to touring after the pandemic. Is like, I think a lot of people left the jobs in the airline industry, and they were replacing them with people who still needed full training, and lots of luggage were being lost. And so even though it was a great return to live touring, some of those shows we didn't play with our gear.
That also mean that you had to have like extra, because you guys have kind of a uniform, you know, like the buttoned up black. Did you have to have extra of those? Did those get lost too? Like the...
Well, mine did. In November, when we did a 4.5 week club tour, I didn't get it back. I got it back a week later, and that's only because I have a friend who works at the Toronto airport who tracked it down, and he sent it to Frankfurt where we were going to play. So if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have got it in time. But yeah, you had to like do a real quick shopping spree. And I did that the first day when I found out that I lost my luggage. I went immediately all over the... Luckily, we were in a city where there was like a city center. So I was able to get what I needed, you know, for at least a week.
All right. So album Electric Sounds coming out September 15th. You've got some guest stars on this one. And if I remember correctly, I don't remember really... too many guest stars in past albums. But you've got like I just saw Bare Naked Ladies recently, and I can't pull his name right now. Like, but the drummer who did does
Tyler Stewart.
Yes. Tyler. Like, what's your connection there? Or?
Well, I mean, we've known Tyler for like 20 years or whatever. Like, he's always been in the Toronto scene, even though his band hit number one on Billboard.
Yes.
Yeah, they're still just a bunch of nice guys and pretty grounded. Even though they have the theme to the Big Bang Theory, it's pretty
cool. I know.
But Eric, our producer of Electric Sounds, he had produced the Bare Naked Ladies. So he had Tyler on Rolodex. So we needed a voice for this track that he's on, and Eric suggested Tyler, and I was like, well, yeah, like sure, that'd be great. Can he really pull that off? And I didn't know that Tyler had a background in sketch comedy. So he came into the studio and he said, like, what region do you want of British accent? So we were actually lucky to get him. And plus, you know, he's a good dude. We've been friends with the ladies for years with their crew. Well, there's one person in particular who's part of the Bare Naked Ladies crew, who's been our crew as well. So like, we have a connection with that camp. And then there was other guest stars like Damien Abraham, the singer of Fucked Up. He is on all the gang vocals, and especially he does a call and response thing at the end of a song called Get High, which is going to be the next single. And then Daniel DK of Exciter did a solo on the title track, Electric Sounds. He's the guitarist at the end of the song. And he came into the studio to do gang vocals because, you know, we're friends with Daniel too. And he walked into the studio and he goes, I'm doing a solo on your album. And I go, okay, like the solos are done. Like, I don't know where to slot you in. And there it was, like there it was waiting for him. And I was like, wow, you know, we almost released this song without like a guitar solo in it at the end there. So he he complements it perfectly.
Very cool. No, I just thought it was a nice pull for Tyler because it's mostly my wife's band, but I go and there's usually like a 20 minute or like a part where he all jams. He covers like Rock of Ages. He's like the rock guy, it seems like, in the
They're all rock guys.
Oh yeah, I know. They're super great live, but I love his part. Whenever he would come out and like do a 10-minute medley, it's always like this guy, you know, he's bringing the vocals, is what I mean. So
yeah, I mean, you talk to those guys off stage, and they're just like rockers, like
all yeah, exactly. But so I'm going to throw something at you because for years listening to the albums, podcasts, there is one particular side project that I'm not sure if all of our listeners know about, and that is your Three's Company podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Three's Company podcast, the Regal Beagle podcast.
Yes.
Absolutely. I have about 4 episodes that I've had for over a year waiting to be edited, and so it's my fault. I just haven't been able to get, you know, pull the trigger on it and get it back up and running. Having said that, 2 days ago, to kind of kick myself in the ass, I reached out to somebody to be a guest on the regular podcast when I restarted, which means, you know, reaching out to them was my way of kind of kicking myself in the ass and getting it restarted, which I've not done in 3 years. And so, or 2.5. And he said, absolutely, 100%. So, you know, I'm going to use him as the reason I get the podcast restarted.
Cool.
I don't want to say who it is, but I really love all his work, and he seems like a wicked dude. And we recently connected on Instagram DMs, and I'm just a big fan. And to find out he even knows our band, it was awesome. So, yeah.
But to break down that show, though, it's basically every – describe it, because I just think it's – it's hilarious to me. Come on, it's every episode, right? Broken down.
Yeah, we're stuck on season 5 for the last couple of years. I just kind of paused it for a while, but yeah, it's going through every episode of Three's Company in chronological order with my cousin Cameron,
right,
who doesn't know the show. Right. He's watching it as I give it to him piece by piece, and he doesn't like it, but he's starting to become a fan. And for a guy who didn't even know what he was getting into, he knows all the characters. And I can't call him a fan. He's very critical of it. He thinks it's a cheesy, stupid show. But I also know he likes it. So I won't admit it. And then, you know, I was giving him a break because sometimes it'd be like, he would drag his heels. Like I'd be, hey, we got to record new episodes. And he'd be like, oh yeah, like it was such a chore for him. So I would get guests to kind of fill in, and then he would go, okay, I'm up for it. I think when he sees there's guests on it, he would jump back on. And sometimes the guests are quite funny. Like I've had, you know, Derek Green of Sepultura talking about Three's Company, and it seems like a fish out of water, you know, like a metal dude, like Derek, punk rock metal dude, with his voice, his vocals, like those growly vocals talking about Jack and Chrissy. I thought it was funny. But same with me. Like, I mean, I thought that's the reason why I started the whole podcast, because it just didn't seem like people would guess it right away. Well, because they don't know me. But this is a real big thing about me. I love the show. And it's not rock and roll. You know, it doesn't scream like, you know, 335 guitars and Marshall heads. It's just this show that we all watched.
Come on, it's Jack. Really Jack Tripper is universal. I mean, the thing about Three's Company is, I think I started watching that show when I was 8 and had no idea about all the sexual innuendo. I just thought it was funny as hell. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, like my mom would get all really worked up about it. She's like, you shouldn't be watching this. And I didn't understand why. And
it's jiggly TV, Danko. You're not supposed to be watching.
Yeah, and I didn't understand. I just love, you know, the pratfalls and all that stuff. That's what I connected with. But then when I got older, I'm like, ooh.
That's right. it seems like the greatest prank that you pulled your cousin and just like, no, seriously, we're going to watch all of them. together.
I watch all of them. Yeah. And he's kind of into it now. And now he comes at it with, like, the last time we did a batch, which was over a year ago, he comes at it ready. Like, he's studied and he knows this show now. Whereas at the beginning of the podcast, he was kind of like, what the hell? Why are you watching this shit?
Uh-huh.
Now he's like, yeah, like, I think Jack is, you know, he's got his own opinions on it.
Yeah, like podcasters, it's just all seems like you jump into everything as a full obsessive. Like, you're not going to go halfway in. You're going all in for something. So
all in, and then when that's done, I have every Three's a Crowd and Ropers episode. So this thing's going to go on for years.
Okay, I did not think you were going to keep going on that. Okay, so which is, do you rank them all the same? Or I never really watched the Ropers. But Three's a Crowd, I was like pretty much out, I think, at that point. But is that
great?
It was okay.
Oh, yeah, it shouldn't have been canceled. It was great.
See,
Roper is not so great.
All right. Was Roper first? Is this a spinoff? And then okay. Or what?
Yeah,
which order was?
They moved out, and Furley became the landlord.
That's correct. Of course. Yeah, that makes
Bart
sense.
Bart Furley bought the building off of Mr. Furley. Bart Furley bought the building off of Stanley Roper.
Okay, Furley or Ropers? Which one?
Oh, Furley.
As well for me. So that's what it took next level for me. That's what I'm talking about. That's the stuff that's like, how could you not enjoy this show?
Just Furley. You asking that question, I know you're a fan. So.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. So you want to go more into the album as far as?
I don't care. Whatever you want to talk about, it's your podcast.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a little left turn here too. I've got the thing we've always, both my co-host and I have always enjoyed about you is the fact that you're not just a rocker, man. You're an author. You got a lot of things to say, like your book title, Too Many.
Too Many Things to Say. That's what it should have been called. I've got too many things to say and it's annoying. That's the updated title.
So I'm going to give you some softballs here, but they're ones that I find amusing out of here. And that is that I got this book right before I went to a vacation in California. And I was like, it was in the middle of the winter and you know, you're in winter zone. And the first thing that it opened up to accidentally was your rant about feet. So please tell me do you mind going into that at all?
Well, it's hard to describe the article. Oh, it's not even an article. It's like Mary Fleener did the artwork for it, like in a comic book form. And Mary's great. She's like one of my favorite illustrators. So I reached out and I just on a lark, just said, hey, I'm not thinking I would even get a reply. And it was great that she did, and she did it. But the feet thing was like, I just went on, I don't know, I should really stop this. And I was like, I don't want to be like this anymore. So this is like, I went on a rant because I was like walking down the street with someone and I saw this guy wearing like sandals. And it was just like, holy shit. Like, are you half reptile? Like, what are those? So I just was like, why do people think that like, it's not going to be visible? And like, it's just, anyways, I wish I took a shot of it because it doesn't do it just, doesn't do my rant justice.
Right. I mean, it's not a visual show, but some kind of look like that, right? With the, you can't see that.
I can't see it, but yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I'll trust that it, well, I know the comic, but yeah, it's like, yeah. And I just went off on about that. And it was just, I was like, wow, that just made me like really pissed me off. And so I was like, wow, that's an article. Let me see if I can take that just one little line that I had going and turn it into a whole thing. And a lot of these articles were almost a challenge to myself when I had like a one line to turn it into like a 1,200 to 1,500 word essay.
Yeah. My whole thing is that I instantly started looking at my feet. I'm like, oh my God, they're horrible. I've unleashed these things in public. Why? I mean, I've been a wall winter long. There's no maintenance during winter. On your feet,
but I'm not asking for everyone to maintain. I'm just asking for.
How about some clip? A little clip, you know, a little.
Jesus, yeah, that's all I'm asking.
But there's that, and then give a little bit of a hack or a tip for the keeping the chips sanitary in the back.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Yeah, that's a huge thing for me. Like, it's something to do more with like touring bands. But I mean, you know, if you're at a party, it applies. But, you know, on the rider in your dressing room, there's like bags of chips and there's like cold cuts and peanuts, whatever. And, you know, for, you know, some things you get a fork or a serving spoon, but chips are chips. And a lot of people just open the bag and just start going at it. Like, especially people in bands and musicians. I mean, a lot of us are cave people.
Yeah. Savages.
Savages. And we're just going in. And I noticed that, like, well, now I don't want to, like, I know that hand. I know where that's been. I don't really want, you know, like, what is outweighing what? Like, my desire to have the bag because I really like the brand, and I'll risk, you know, your fingers touching some of the chips, or just abstain till next time. And then I just did this chip cup thing, and I made a big deal about it. Hey, I'm putting it in a cup.
Everybody gets their own cup.
Yeah, and then that became an article.
You know? Mm-hmm. See,
take it with a grain of salt. Take it with as lighthearted as it was meant to be.
Yes, and one last thing out of there that I'm gonna just throw at you is explain your fascination with Ritchie Blackmore and your letters to him over the years. You're kind of
That started with like long drives in the van. And we'd be in the van and I'd be like, you know, I wrote one and then I said it to everyone in the van and people laughed. And that really kind of spurned me on to just keep writing them. And I would read them out while people, like a deadhead drive for like 6 hours, and everybody's like bored and, you know, there's nothing to do. And this is kind of before the advent of like real smartphones. We still had smartphones, but they weren't as they are now, where you can just lose yourself in some app. So there's, you know, pretty a lot of downtime and a lot of boredom. And so it filled it up and it kept me busy too, trying to crack up everybody in the van. So that's how those organically came out. It was just me trying to crack everyone up.
Just with ridiculous like requests and statements about his power and just give people a little context, right? Did you ever get like any response?
No.
Okay.
There's tons of those letters. Like there's tons that we didn't even put
in. Oh, even more than that. Oh, excellent. Yeah,
like at one point doing the book, I was like, why don't I just put out letters to Ritchie Blackmore as like a whole book? Because there was tons of them. And then I was like, then my editor, Aaron, was like, just put the best ones.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we put like some of the really, really good ones, because those are just, they didn't translate. It would be hard to translate some of those. It was a crapshoot whether it would translate in a book or not.
Sure.
Or maybe it would translate better if it was read out loud kind of thing.
I think that's good. I think the deluxe edition comes with a cape. No? Something like that.
That's a good idea.
I'm just saying.
That's a good idea.
A little swag. But yeah, so just to finish on the book part, since you say you have too much shit to say, is there any thing, Pat, because this is about, right, what, 2018, 19, yeah, something like that, but it is like up to date. Is there more? Are you considering maybe?
Well, just like the podcast, I've been like, I did come up with an idea last year and I was like, whoa, that's it. That's the thing. And then, and it was a theme, much like Letters to Ritchie Blackmore, but it was a special theme. I've got about eight essays for it, or six to eight essays. I don't know if they would even make a cut, but it would take a lot of work, it's worth it if I could pull it off. I just gotta come up with more ideas for it. But there is a theme in my head to do a book.
And a lot of them were taken from like Huffington Post and certain places like that. Where are you normally writing still, or putting your?
I'm not writing anymore.
Oh, you're not at all. Okay, that I didn't know.
Since the pandemic, I haven't been writing anything, and not doing the podcast. Like at the end of 2020, like everybody thought, wow, that was the worst year ever. For me personally, 2021 was the worst year, like just family and personal stuff.
Okay,
and so I couldn't do much. And putting out Power Trio was the one thing that kept my mind off it. And I wouldn't have done it if JC hadn't said, like, we need a record. And I was like, well, I don't even feel like getting out of bed, man. Like, I can't even do this. And it's weird because I think about the pandemic and the time. If I was on tour and there was no pandemic, I don't even know how things would have happened. Like, I don't even know how I would have survived. So it had nothing to do with me. It had more to do with like family. And so I put a pause on everything because I had to take care of shit. And since then, I'm just trying to restart stuff, you know, like restart writing. And there's been, you know, doing these like, putting out an album and doing press and stuff. There are requests where I have to write something, and that's fun, man. I'm like finding it to be like a lot of fun. So I do need to get back at it.
So on that end, when you're, you know, you've got Danko on stage, you've got Danko that's talking to me. And what I mean by that is that sometimes I think on our podcast that we're more truthful than we are in real life. Like maybe even these discussions, it's just a lot of banter and stuff like that, where like, is this my authentic self? So I guess my question is getting deep for a second. Like, is there something like this, when you're on stage, you know, you're commanding it, you're prowling, you're in the fucking full Danko mode. So what part of that, like, I don't know, like if I was going to ask, like, how do you have to have that? Or what do you think? Like that's an essential part of, I mean, it gives you joy, obviously, being on stage. I'm just saying, like, is that why 2021 was so difficult, and because you didn't have that release?
No, it didn't have anything to do with, you know, having this cathartic outlet.
Okay.
I do think, you know, over the years, it's helped me get stuff out. But like at this point, no, that's not how I approach it at all. It's really weird. Cause I know there's performers who are like, I'm going to die if I can't perform. I'm not like that. And when I get off tour, I'm not like one of those people who go, oh, I got to get back out there. No, I'm taking out the garbage. Like the moment I get there, I'm doing laundry and I'm taking out the garbage. So it's very seamless to me. And, you know, going from, getting ready in the dressing room to going on stage and then going back to the dressing room, it's like seamless. And people don't understand that. But that's just because it's me all the time. When I get on stage, it's like there's so many, you know, when people stare at you, like at a bus stop or, you know, at the grocery store, that's an aggressive act. Like it feels sometimes, depending on the kind of stare, someone staring at you could feel aggressive. So when you get on stage to have like hundreds of pairs or thousands of pairs of eyes on you, it's not seen negatively, but it does get your back up. It does get, you know, your body changes and you adjust. And that adjustment is what you see from me. Like, you know, plus I'm getting to play rock and I love playing rock, and that gets you energized. If I was just on the stereo and we're playing tunes that, you know, and we're all in this vibe together and we're all on the same page when it comes to rock and we all want to, you know, get off on the same shit, you'll get a very similar response from me, you know? And then when it's time to talk to somebody one-on-one, I'm not going to be as energetic.
Of course.
So that's the difference there.
The reason I ask on that is just that what, you know, the whole band, JC, Rich, like there's just so much like joy coming off the stage that you don't get from all bands. Like there's just an energy and just a, like, we are having, you know, the song, I'm a band. Like I'm every part of the song, I mean, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's like one of my favorite songs. And I consider that my theme song. I love playing that song. So yeah, like I'm genuinely into fucking playing the song. And if I have a bad day or things are fucking up, try to like just forget about it and I'm able to enjoy the music. Is helpful is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
At that moment, like, cause sometimes, you know, life, you know, you're just like, fuck, and you gotta go on stage. Like even at Grass Pop, I got some news that fucking freaked me out. And I told the person that called me and I'm like, you know, I'm just about to go in front of like 15,000 people on stage.
Right.
And they said, oh, I should have called you after. Yeah. Maybe. And then you just got to go on stage and forget about it and just play the songs and get into it.
So talking about crowds and being on tour. So, you know, just so you know, this, I'm out of Denver, So I'm in the US and we don't get a lot of Danko for multitude of reasons, I'm sure, from the rock culture here versus other parts of the world is stronger. So like, what is your, like when you're playing Europe, what is it about, like that last time you were on, you talked about there's no community in rock music was one of the quotes that we got, and Blabbermouth ran with it and we got it on there for the interview. So good job. But to my point, what is that still, or do you see anything different going back out there after?
No, I mean, I like in other bands, like whether it's Airborne or Rival Sons or Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel or Broken Teeth or, you know, Tuck Smith, we're just all like islands unto ourselves looking at each other. There's no network of bridges that bridge us together and audiences and zines. And, you know, there's nothing like that. Like punk rock has MRR and Flipside and all that. And metal has so many metal magazines. There's no real dedicated magazine just to hard rock music like there are for other genres. We always get lumped in as the token kind of band ear relief, you know, from all the metal bands or we're the token rock band in this pop festival or whatever. You know, it's like we never get a full festival on our own because there's just not enough of a network of people who will, you know, and yeah, it's just not a thing.
I don't get it either. Like that's the blueprint of this show is that those kind of bands you just ripped off like a bunch that are essential to kind of the zone we're in.
It's not cohesive, you know,
got it.
Like, helicopters are over there and right. Rival Sons are over there. And we're like just waving at each other and it's all cool. We're all cool with each other. There's Michael Monroe, but like there's no bridge that connects it. Like punk rock bands, you know, there's, you know, Madball, Agnostic Front, you know, they all hate breed. They all, it's like, you know, Sick of It All. They're all, you know, I know they're all from New York except for Hatebreed, but you know what I mean? Like there's a scene that go and that scene connects to this scene and this scene connects to that scene and everybody's cool with each other. And it, you know, it's not like that with rock.
Even with you obviously do really well as far as the amount of fests you get on and in European, like Vakken and all these like that, but you still think in those lineups, they're like, here's Danko, here's Rival Sons. You're just a few on there because it's more of a metal fest. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a few of us who do that. Nashville Pussy does it. We do it. Airborne does it.
Yeah.
You know, we're the rock band of the day and it's great for us because there's a lot of people who want to hear it or they just want to like give themselves a break.
Right.
You know, like
a little something different. Metal.
Yeah. Like from all the like the corpse pain or just all the noodling, you're not going to get any noodling from us. So, and all the talk about dragons or Satan.
Sure.
So that I love it. I'm a metalhead myself growing up. So I'm like a kid in a candy store when we play these festivals,
right?
There's usually one or two bands where I'm like, oh my God, I've like wanted to meet them forever.
I gotcha. So no change. Same. Like it's just not as far as the community, it's pretty much, you haven't seen any change in that, the connectivity. That's a shame. I just figured maybe it was stronger, not in the US. Cause that's definitely the vibe we get here. We're like, in our theme of our show is rock's not dead. You know, like
it isn't dead. I mean,
it isn't at all.
So many great bands from America that play rock. Like I mentioned a few already, Nashville Pussy, Broken Teeth, Rival Sons, Tuck Smith. That's just off the top of my head. I mean, there's tons more. That's just off the top of my head, but they're not burning up the charts and there's no, you know, unless you're the Foo Fighters, there's a real big drop off from the Foo Fighters to like our level of bands, like the B and C level bands.
Yeah. What we have seen lately is like around here, like the Rival Sons, they played the Ogden, which was about 1100 and it was packed on like a Tuesday or whatever it was. And that I didn't see a couple of years ago. So that's maybe, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. It's
yeah. Like, and there's Greta Van Fleet too. Like,
sure.
You know that, I mean,
exceptions.
Yeah. Like, but they're islands. Like that's what I mean. Like they're just islands. We're just islands, you know? So,
So after this fest run, you're going to do the Shake Your City tour with Radke, which I love
that's
their song.
Another, yeah,
go ahead.
That's another amazing American rock band.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking them out. Yeah.
Love that song Basement. I think it's an ode to podcasters, in my opinion. But yeah, that goes on for like 3 months, and that's two months. Shake Your City.
But the big poster includes, like, it started at Grass Pop last month. So we included all the festivals this summer.
Okay.
The three Canadian dates in October, but the fall winter tour is 4 weeks, and it starts mid November to mid December.
Very cool. So Electric Sounds, we're getting down to the end here. So Electric Sounds, I restrained myself. I had the preview, but I was like, I got to wait for the vinyl. I got to listen to this in full, like a traditionalist and everything like that. So I stopped at number three, but as far as like the writing of those songs, Electric Sounds, like Lipstick City.
No, City's on Rock Supreme.
Oh, I know. I'm saying like that, those two always, I love when you have like the bridge rant rap, whatever you want to call it, that goes on that. And that, I'm just curious how those come, because those are some of my favorite songs when they just go. Like Electric Sound sounds like this is an awesome song anyway. And all of a sudden, bam, for like a minute, you got a lot to say.
Yeah, that was, when we were doing the demo, JC arranges all the songs. So he had arranged that part that you're talking about in Electric Sounds, but he looped it and he didn't use the lyrics that I had written. He just used the same four bars and he just looped it and looped it. So I just keep repeating myself. And like this, we just kept listening to this version of the song for like, I don't know, a month. And I was like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, that's not the song. Like, just wait till you hear all the lyrics. And then when I laid the lyrics down and they heard the full version, everything kind of like came together. And it was, yeah, it's kind of a rant, a little bit of a means nothing and everything all at the same time.
Right. Just takes the song next level is my point.
Yeah. Like the last line of that part is if you keep it electric, honey, you'll have me for life. I mean, you can read into that or not.
Right.
And you could say that, wow, that's everything about rock. And then it's also like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's perfect. Take it however you want. There you go. Exactly. But yeah, well, in short, appreciate your time today. For us, you're kind of like the modern day, you know, Motorhead. You know, you've got this, you've retained, and now what I mean by that too is that like it's the same lineup, like the last 20 years or whatever, it was Motorhead kept the same, you know, Lemmy, Phil, Mickey, and it's got to be great for you to keep the same drummer, for example. I mean, JC has been in the band, you know, you guys seem like you're in a like that zone, like that's what I mean. Like Motorhead, I would stack the later albums with some of the beginning ones. They had some great stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Every era had like wicked albums in Motorhead.
Yeah.
When they were four piece, like rock and roll is amazing, 1960. Yeah.
So I got to ask, because the only time I was able to see you live was at this fest called Rock at the Range in Ohio back in, Jesus, long, long time ago.
2012.
Spot on. And it was with Steel Panther, I think it was the same night and stuff like that.
We shared
a
dressing room that night.
Lovely. I've
seen them without their wigs.
Oh, their wigs? God damn it. I thought it was real, Danko. You ruined the
mystery. Oh, sorry.
Mystery.
No, I didn't know.
No. But like, what kind of thing would it take to make it work in the U.S. Would it be like a fest kind of thing if it ever did happen again? I know there's it's like I said, like the U.S. is a weird place. Like last time you said it's 50 different countries. Like it's all spread.
I think it would take like Dave Grohl wearing our T-shirt in a Foo Fighters video.
There you go. Okay, that's yeah, right. You'd have to be paired with something like that. Is what you're saying?
You need to be like introduced, kind of like how Lemmy did to Twisted Sister.
It's a goddamn shame, Danko. We need you back here, but this rock and roll community needs to get stronger. Right? We agree. So
yeah. We're on the same page. I actually gotta go because I gotta do this.
It's fine.
The next
I'm done.
Is like,
you're I'm done. Good.
Sorry, no, man. You want a little thing where I go, thanks, man. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, just do that. Just say "Rock's not dead" or something like that. That's our little tagline. Yeah. We're good.
Rock's not dead.
Thanks, Daco.
Thanks, man. This next interview is like, oh man, they're asking a lot, and I gotta. It's weird, but I gotta go next door to Rich's hotel room and borrow his phone. It's ridiculous. So
it's all good. It's all good.
Me right now.
I appreciate it.
Sorry.
Thanks, man. Rock on.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. I'm in a band and I love it. All I wanna do is play my guitar and rock and roll. Turn on the lights, let me rip it. All I wanna do is pick up a microphone and put on a show. I'm in a band and I love it. All I wanna do is play my guitar and rock and roll. You might think I'm foolish. All right. You might think I'm outrageous. That's out of sight. You might think I'm silly or just wound too tight. You might think I'm crazy. Oh, you might be right. You might just be right. You might just be right. Just plug me in and I'll kick it. All I wanna do is jam with my band and hit the road, baby. I'm in a band, it feels so good. I wanna leave town and never come back. I'm in a band and I love it. You wanna be in a band? In the heat of the night, or while the sun is shining bright, let's hit the road and rock and roll. So glad to be alive. Roll.
All right, one more. Same quadrant? Same quadrant? You want to move around?
I get to pick a quadrant. Yeah. Let's go quadrant three. Q3.
All right, lower left.
Husker-do.
Husker-do.
Okay. One of these days, that will be the answer. Yeah.
Decade, sir.
Let's go back to 90s.
Going back to 90s.
Get out of the way.
1 to 10, Baco.
You know, I take it back.
Oh.
Can we go to 2000s?
Yeah, we can just do that.
Spice it up.
Nice.
All right.
I call the deadest era?
Then I'll go 10 again.
Go 10 again. Okay. All right. So this is too easy.
How about two then?
Oh, I know what it is. I know
it's going to be. Two?
Danko Jones.
Go!
It is Danko Jones.
Done.
Boy, okay, I have to say, I have
how
to concede
was that?
That is fantastic. Better. Like, but your reaction kind of helped.
Yes, I knew that's what it was because of the connection.
How about even give a
save you some time? Let's just go two.
Yeah,
thanks, man. That was fucking awesome.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.